right, here we go. This is it. The wooden wagon that we use. And the wagon has had no trouble making it through the snow. That's good. It's the wagon that we start with at 9 o'clock. We spread news and opinion, and then the wagon comes back. We then have Jacob brush the horses and put the blanket on him and feeds them and stuff like that. And we find out that there's always somebody sitting now in the wagon. They didn't have to drive the thing. Just sit there. Hold on to the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. Let's open the microphone now and listen to what they're talking about in the wagon.
Hey, now my brother was here checking you guys out.
Right.
So was my uncle's.
Okay.
Do you know you have scratchy toilet paper?
Yes.
And he really got treated bad. So you know what he said? You go buy them some toilet paper. Get everybody to start bringing toilet paper in. I have $6.
What?
Because when you guys are talking about me, you have no idea who knows me.
See? Huh? He's talking about us, Tom.
I think it's about time for this segment to come to a close. We are scraping the bottom of that barrel.
We are not.
No, we're not, huh?
I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro.
Right.
That's what pros do.
I got a whole list.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
Endless.
You should check out The Hateful Eight, by the way. Hateful Eight actually takes place, a big chunk of it, in a stagecoach life.
Okay, so then you were saying that, put that in. Oh, see, now you
Tarantino.
Like the idea.
Yeah, well, as long as we upgrade it to cinematic masterpieces like Tarantino's movie, I can live with it.
Let's see the...
sorry to interrupt your news.
It's all right. I'll wait. U.S. Supreme Court in May ruling overturned a 1992 law that would bar it from most places to allow states to legalize and regulate tax sports bets. Within 24 months, there'll be 24 states offering legal sports betting. You can already have it in West Virginia and Mississippi, Nevada, Delaware. Pennsylvania's going to be next in line. And possibly the great state of Washington will join the others and be able to take advantage of your lack of luck.
Which is amazing because we have, I didn't realize this, we have one of the stringest laws against gambling. Mm-hmm. And so for us to actually be melding, and so this kind of reminds me, the attitude toward gambling was a lot like the country's attitude toward marijuana just like a decade ago. Mm-hmm. You can't imagine this. But now the NFL, everybody's sort of getting into the act. For the longest time, everyone thought, oh, my God, no, that's immoral, or there's something, it'll bring in organized crime and all that. I mean, there are all sorts of reasons that people had against gambling. And now they seem to be melting away. And the Supreme Court ruling has allowed it to melt away even faster. So right now you've got Eric Pettigrew, who is a Democrat, a majority caucus chair. He and seven others have decided to call for professional college sports wagering to be legalized. Now, it's not legal. It would not be legal everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's only within tribal gaming facilities. They're also suggesting, in addition to gambling on sports, to allow for online gambling, which also is verboten in the state.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do the online gambling within the confines of a casino, then that might be allowed. And we don't know how far we don't know if this is going to succeed or not in Olympia. But it does. Obviously, there's a groundswell for that, so it's getting suggested. And then you say, well, if you object to that by saying, well, why should the casinos get that kind of monopoly? At least the thrust of the Seattle Times article is that, no, this is really, you just have to see this. If you're in favor of sports betting,
mm-hmm.
then this is a good first step. That you have to see the casinos, because we already allow for gambling in those, that it's easier to get it included into their confines. And once it's in their confines, then it'll be easier to allow for it across the state.
Well, doesn't the state do what it can to make sure that the tribes get the lion's share and stop competition from coming in so that all the gambling money goes? Connecticut is looking at the same situation. And the tribes there in Connecticut, like, hey, if you don't let us in, cut us in on and let us have sports betting first, then we're going to withhold our revenues. About $250 million of blackjack or no, one-arm bandit revenue to the state of Connecticut. So Connecticut's like, no, we're going to have you at the table. We'll have you at the table. Here in the state of Washington, they make sure, the tribes make sure that they're protected with the fact that that's where they make their money, and that's a great service that you can enjoy at the tribes, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
It's not that we have strict laws. We have strict laws forbidding anybody else to come in and create gambling, but the tribes
the
have.
The strictest, yes.
But the tribes enjoy it, right?
Yes,
right.
I mean, it took a while, but yeah, they now enjoy it. But again, this is now we don't have it would be nice if we had Hannah here to maybe get a sense of what the Olympia legislature was, where this sort of stands. But the suggestion is here that if you like, Because I remember, I think it was Dory Monson who went on and talked about online gambling. What a joke that is, that you're not allowed to do online gambling. That seemed, well, this may be, we're one of those states where that might be able to be happening if you first allowed in the casinos. But so let's say, John, that it doesn't go, and not everyone is allowed to do it. You have to do it on site.
Yeah.
Still, would you be in favor of that or against it?
Anytime you, well, first of all, it's already happening. You can say, just like with prohibition, oh, you can't have alcohol because the government says you can't have it. People still had it. It just because there's a demand doesn't go away because you make it illegal. The demand for gambling exists. It's a multi-billion dollar business where people are doing bets back and forth. So there's a black market that exists for it. So you let people have it. It's not going to be immoral, and people are going to be able, the state will then be able to get a chunk of it. So
there are still some dry states, you know, or forces of the state. So you can enforce it, maybe not at a nationwide level. But so this, and I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I'm not a big gambler, but I wouldn't mind being able to bet on a game or something on the Super Bowl legally, you know.
Do you want to have to go to a casino to do it?
I would rather not, no.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, the casino would rather have you go there.
See, I don't know. Yeah, right now, it'd be interesting to ask Pettigrew or whoever the other signees are. Legislative signees are how they feel about that. Is it just restricted to the casinos? I don't have a problem with it one way or the other because I'm not a big gambler. But as we know, I mean, we do have little minor bets between us.
Yeah.
As long as it's under $100, it's legal or something. Yeah.
Let's see. There is a congresswoman who's gotten herself a little bit of hot water. Is she from Michigan?
Yeah, I think so.
Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah.
And late Midwest.
She got a little bit of problem with Jews and.
She doesn't. She has some problem with the rhetoric.
Well, certainly seemed anti-Semitic, right?
See, that's the question. Is it anti-Semitic, and does that mean she has a problem with Jews or with the a lobbying group?
You are allowed to petition your government. I think that's protected in the Constitution. And this lobbying group petitions its government, and it asks them to make sure that they look favorably upon Israel, right?
Yes.
And they give money. And she tweeted out something to the effect of, it's all about the Benjamins. She was explaining that people don't really support, or really it's the fact, follow the money. It's this group gives money to politicians, and that's why politicians are loyal to Israel.
Yes.
They're buying their loyalty. And she wrote # it's about the Benjamins, right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, she tweeted out it's about the Benjamins, which is a reference to a song, and the Benjamins meaning $100 bills. And so the suggestion is that we support, we in the United States or whatever, the support for Israel is because of the lobbying efforts,
right?
Which is true in every lobbying effort. Everybody spends money to gain support. In this particular case, though, as Democrats and Republicans rose up in arms against her, saying you're falling into an anti-Semitic trope, and it's that trope that's getting into trouble. And so now she is going on an education tour, much like the governor of Virginia is going on an education tour about it.
Here's a New Jersey Democrat explaining to her.
It's a historic anti-Semitic trope about greed and money and related to Jews, and I think that's what set many of us off.
Yeah. And then Representative Max Rose says,
I do want to, though, point out to all of you that when Kevin McCarthy said that it was Bloomberg, and when it was Soros, and it was Steyer pulling the strings behind the scenes, none of you camped out, right? And their caucus stayed united and had his back, and none of you called him out on that. So I just want you all to acknowledge that there's some hypocrisy going on there, too.
Oh.
Okay? That caucus can't be chicken in the face of anti-Semitism either. In the face of anti-Semitism, we don't acknowledge party. In the face of any hate, any vitriol, we don't acknowledge party. Okay?
Mm-hmm. There you go. That was a little pushback because the Republicans are trying to make hay, but then Kevin McCarthy said something that was equally seen as anti-Semitic by at least a number of Israel-supporting groups. And because of that, they're saying fair is fair. But she is getting sort of called on the carpet, and she had to make a public apology and all this.
She's going to go on an education or a listening tour, or is it an education tour?
No.
What's the nonsense?
No. She's just saying that she's talking to her Jewish colleagues.
Oh, okay.
Anti-Semitism is real, and I'm grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes.
Is she being asked to step down or resign?
No, at this point, not that I've seen.
Okay.
Probably by Republicans.
Right. Because Democrats won't ask her to step down. They're not offended.
Well, and the Republicans didn't ask Kevin McCarthy to step down either. That's what that guy's point was. that people are stepping in it, but it's a rhetorical step in.
Does she have a history of saying other things that are similar to this?
Once before, she remember she's a Muslim,
yeah,
and so the clash between Muslims and Jews in the Middle East,
mm-hmm,
not that surprising,
right?
But the reason this was got it was the language that she used that got her into so much trouble.
Brown assigns Mr. Hunt, Kareem Hunt, who was cut from the Chiefs because he had some charges. Was it violence against? Oh, shit.
You're going off a different thingamajigger.
Right there. And so Jacob, get up.
Okay, well, real quickly, since we brought it
you
up.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, the thing is that he was caught on tape beating up a girlfriend or roughing up a girlfriend.
Right.
And so Kansas City, and remember, they were the best team at the time and ended mm-hmm. up just missing out on the Super Bowl. He was their best running back at the time. They kicked him off the team. They're doing a major investigation. He's not allowed to play in the NFL. But Cleveland surprised a lot of people by signing him anyway, even though he hasn't been cleared yet. And so there's a controversy about, wait a minute, Cleveland, what are you doing? Are you so desperate for wins that you will hire somebody who may be another Rice?
Mm-hmm.
And again, he might not be, and so they're taking a chance on him.
Academy sparks outrage for dumping four Oscar categories during its commercial break.
Yeah.
And people are upset. Is this going to be during the commercials? Here's the categories that you missed.
Yes.
Okay.
What they're going to do is they're still going to give the awards, but they're not, and they're going to be carried live on, you know, if you're watching the live stream. But if you're on TV, they'll go to commercial, they'll come back, and at some point during the show, they'll say, oh, you know, we gave the Best Cinematography Award to XXXX, and here's what they had to say, and there'll be a little edited version of that.
Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting about this is right now, this is the first Oscar that in my lifetime, I think, that they're guaranteeing it's going to be no more than 3 hours. We'll have to see if they hold that, hold to that. But one of the ways they're doing that is they're trimming some categories. They're still giving the Oscars out, but they're not going to do it during live TV, so they can kind of keep track of that. And so, but nobody knew what categories they're going to do. It turns out it's going to be cinematography, editing, I think it's makeup, hairstyling, and a live-action short or something like that. And so there's really strong pushback, especially on the cinematography and editing components. They say, that's ridiculous. If anything, those two categories, cinematography and editing, are at the heart of what makes a movie, mm-hmm. and it is independent of all other arts. There's no cinematography in a book or in a stage production. There's no editing. The great thing about this is that's the essence of movies, so you shouldn't get rid of those. The argument is that, well, this will make more people watch if they don't have these categories that nobody understands.
Mm-hmm.
And the counter argument is, oh, yeah, because they're not going to show the best editing Oscar, I think I am going to tune in. Otherwise, I wouldn't. They say that's ridiculous. All you're doing is offending the few people that are watching the Oscars who really value those kinds of things.
And what is the difference if it's 4 hours or 3 hours, right? I mean, you're locked in for three.
That's a good point. They say people that love movies, they don't mind how long
it is.
They
can't get enough of it.
Exactly. So anyway, it's kind of, they sparked a mini controversy. Similar to the Oscars, the whole Academy can't get in the way of, out of the way of themselves. Remember, they decided, hey, we're going to give an Oscar for Best Popular Movie, and there was such blowback. Yeah, okay, maybe not, or maybe next year, but not this year. They're trying to make themselves hipper and more responsive to the millennial generation. Instead, they're just irritating the baby boomer generation that still likes the Oscars and not attracting the millennials that they're after.
Let's see. Amazon has announced that their prices are going back up at Whole Foods. They cut them dramatically
yes.
for a basket of groceries in 2017 to get people to come back in. They said now, because of the costs of transporting, stocking, everything else, expect the prices to go back up at Amazon's Whole Foods.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great stunt. They might have planned this all along. Amazon looks so far down in the future that maybe they realized they would have to do this, but it was a great stunt at the time. Look at this. This is so great. Amazon, Jeff Bezos, a man of the people, he's buying that expensive Whole Foods place and making it cheaper for the rest of us. And I go, yeah, maybe not. After a couple of years, they said, I don't think that people are shopping at Whole Foods that weren't shopping at Whole Foods beforehand, and they figured the people that are already shopping at Whole Foods, they were shopping there before I took over, so we'll put the cost back up.
The man that gave us freedom fries has left, Tom,
yes.
the building.
Mm-hmm.
When France said they would not support us in the Iraq War, and they were selling French fries on Capitol Hill, and you could have congressmen and women and senators going in there and getting French fries, this guy came up with the idea, you know what? Let's stop calling them French fries.
So idiotic. I remember this happened at the time. I thought, that was stupid. They're attacking my beloved French. And then, as the French pointed out in a very saucy tweet, I think, at the time, they just said, French fries are Belgian anyway. They're not have nothing to do with France. sense. But the idea is that we were so outraged that we didn't have support from France that people were, you know, banishing French fries, and there were a number of national chains that were dropping them. Well, ironically, they say, including at Congress, well, quietly in 2006, they put it back on the shelf as French fries. The idea here is that as the Iraq war got less and less popular, more and more people thought, hey, you know, maybe France was right. And so this fervor even, you know, died down. Even this guy, who was one of the two congressmen that suggested this, even he regretted his claim and ended up regretting his vote to support the Iraq war. He thought it was such a mess. So a little irony involved. He just died at the age of 76.
Trump signals he may not support a border fund deal. That just came down from the Wall Street
Journal. What? Wow.
I know. President Trump signaled he may not support the border deal. Reached Monday night, raising the possibility of a second shutdown this weekend, Tom.
Well, yeah, it would have to happen this weekend. The thing is that he had said he doesn't think it's going to happen. And if it did happen, it'd be on the Democrats. He has the whole ball of wax is now, you know, in his in his court. He's got to decide what he wants to do with it. And if he decides he doesn't want it, then he's going to be more responsible for the shutdown, I'm afraid, than anybody else in terms of a blame. But I think he'll probably come around.
Beautiful disaster. The head injury revealed hidden talent. I talked about this during the pre-show meeting, and
yeah.
I think this is something we should look into. CBS's Channel 4 there in Denver reports on a man that, he can do something he couldn't do before because he did something he'd never done before.
The music is in his mind. His fingers do the rest. What Derek Amato has is a gift that came in the most unexpected way. It happened 12 years ago in a swimming pool accident.
I miscalculated diving towards the shallow end, and I struck the bottom of the shallow end on this side of my head and damaged the back end.
After recovering, he was at a friend's house and walked over to a keyboard, and suddenly, without having played before, his hands were all over it. It's called acquired savant syndrome. The trauma to the head unlocks something unique inside Derek Amato's brain. Here at Classic Pianos, he explained to us that black and white squares appear in his mind.
I just follow what the blocks tell me to do, and I don't think I catch them all, but, you know, I do my best to take as many of those notes as I can and put them into playing.
Wow. That is phenomenal, and it just makes you wonder how much do we have stored in our brain.
I'm hitting myself with a hammer right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Playing the saxophone.
You've got to have some hidden talent in there, John.
I'm going to keep hitting, Tom. Still nothing's happened.
The next interesting study, I think, though, is to study the kind of music that that brain produces. I wonder if it's like really good quality music, or is it more like piano bar music? What is it that he has stored in that brain of his that was untapped by this accident? Fascinating. Maybe I can speak French in another brain.
Are you thinking diving into the shallow end?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
I do every day with you, 3 hours a day.
Whoa! Where's the hammer sound? I'll be right back.
Boing.
Here we go, Online Trading Academy, text line 98973, 98973. It is the Tom and Curley Show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Dory coming up in a half an hour from now. We always leave, I leave the studio, I'll go out and run, walk by his little desk there. He's sitting there, getting all angry. And we say, hey, we're lining him up for you. You're welcome. Right, Tom?
We're the best carnival barker show
in business. The best thing that's happened to his show in 25 years.
Right.
Everybody, come on in. We also love to hear from you, Online Trading Academy at 98973, or you can get to us from mynorthwest.com. Or is that up or not?
Still down.
Ah, Dory knocked it down.
Wow.
So we have no email.
Right. This text is the only option.
Yeah. Or faxes. Faxes funny jokes. Oh, let's see. There is a, which one are you going to do first, Tom? You going to do the thing about leather, or are you going to do polar bears?
Leather.
All right, fine. So people say, I don't want to wear leather and I don't want to wear fur because it's unfair to animals. I don't like the way the animals are farmed and raised and then slaughtered, and it's horrible. Yeah. And I watch the PETA videos.
Yes.
So I'm going to go pleather, or I'm going to go with some type of plastic or something, because that would be better for the environment and better for me, because I like to send out all sorts of, you know, signals that I have great virtues.
Vegan clothes might be the wave of the future, but they might not be the moral wave of the future, at least according to this new book called Putting on the Dog, The Animal Origins of What We Wear. The argument is an interesting one. I've heard this a number of times. So let's decide you don't want to, for whatever environmental or moral reasons, you do not want to wear clothing that comes from animals for whatever slaughterhouse reasons or that, this or that. Well, how about cotton? Cotton's a great thing to make clothes out of. The problem is it is the most profitable non-food crop around, but 11% of pesticides in the world are sprayed on cotton plants. Those pesticides are harmful to people and the environment, and they get into the environment that way. And then cotton crops require lots and lots and lots of water. There's water resource there's a shortage.
That's why those recyclable bags are so bad.
So
for the environment.
So it takes about 5,300 gallons of water to make a single cotton T-shirt and a pair of jeans. So the basic thrust of this article is, you can't win for losing. There's whichever choice you make, it's going to be harmful for the environment. So the suggestion here is not, this is the thesis then, is not replace natural materials with synthetics. The key is you're going to have to buy clothes, yes, but don't buy very many, but made mostly from plants and animals, then cherish and care for them. The idea is that we are wasteful in this country, not because we kill animals and we feed animals all this, you know, the grain that costs so much energy and hurts our environment. The idea is that we should just be less wasteful with the stuff we own and not worry about whether this is, you know, leather based or not, or even fur based. The key is to make sure that you take advantage of that and cherish what you have.
Right.
So that's the,
it's not,
that's
just
the
a
response.
Consumption. Just control the consumption side.
That's not. I think that's a good, that's a good way to kind of look at things. Now, I'm sure there are arguments on both sides, but she even went to a mink farm in Denmark, and they raised minks. She says, and it really is amazing how well cared for the minks are. Now, it is true. Ultimately, they are slaughtered, but they have this sort of like free range chickens. It's like they have this wonderful life where they're nurtured and all of this, and then it comes to the bloody end. It's just, you can't ignore the bloody end, but you can treat the animals humanely.
So she's okay with someone wearing a big mink stole?
Well, she talked about the value of mink farmers. Now, I don't know what that means about mink stoles. I don't know what goes into stoles.
Yeah.
But she does say that even in this case, she, you know, was prepared to be horrified. And she realized that if you have one jacket, John, and it happens to be mink fur, and you cherish it and use it for your entire lifetime,
I'm not going
to
be judged.
Then maybe you're better. Well, you're judging yourself. This is not about other people judging you.
Oh.
It's how you judge yourself.
Oh, okay.
Now, I know you're scot free when it comes to you judging yourself, but most of us are guilt ridden.
High scores and fives.
A lot of us are guilt ridden.
I always find outrage when it comes to furs to be very selective, right?
Mm.
Aretha Franklin could wear gigantic fur. She had all sorts of furs, right?
But did she?
Oh, yeah. And she would show up in the fur. They take the fur off. I mean, gorgeous. She would sit there, play the piano with just beautiful, beautiful furs. No one's upset about her.
Well, I think they would be if she was maybe. I don't know. Are you sure it wasn't faux fur? Because those things can look gorgeous that way,
too. I can't imagine.
Okay.
I can't imagine the queen having something fake.
Okay.
If somebody else were to show up and something.
It's not fake. It's moral.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. Hey, there's good news. Back in 2005, there were 22,500 polar bears. In 2008, you could read that polar bears were going to be extinct in a couple of years. And now the good news is there's 30,000 of them, an increase of 30% of polar bears. And they also find out in a recent study that apparently the shrinking of the summer ice they thought would be a big problem turns out to have little or no effect upon the polar bear population. And that's why a town in Russia finds itself with a whole bunch of polar bears roaming all over the place, and they describe it as an invasion.
Now, I know you do independent research for this show.
Yes.
But that setup is not exactly the
why not
evidence that you're looking for. So there is an invasion of 52 polar bears on this little archipelago that is being overrun, and they can be aggressive. They normally don't hurt humans because they don't come in contact with humans, but because of the melting ice, the polar ice caps, they are coming down farther into where human habitation habitats are. And because of that, they're causing a problem. So the thrust of this article was that it is indeed global warming and or climate change that is causing this upset? And then
well,
the
they're coming
is,
down there.
What should you want to do?
And there's more of them now because of global warming. There's apparently more of them. There's now 30,000 of them. Before, this there are, were 22,000.
This says they're 26. But still, I guess let's not argue about, you know, 4,000 here, 4,000 there. But the point is that these animals, it is amazing. They are. There's a great shot in this one particular article. And they're like... over a dozen of them all grazing like a garbage dump, that they're that desperate for food. That is not the ideal scenario for a polar bear, I wouldn't think. So
I don't think they care necessarily. We went up, Evening Magazine went to Manitoba, Canada, on Halloween. And the reason we went to Manitoba on Halloween is because that's the night that the kids go trick-or-treating, and no one is allowed to wear any sort of animal costume.
Why?
Because the polar bears are not far away from the town. So the kids come out of the house. They've got a two cop cars in front, two cop cars behind, and it's a parade of kids down the street through Manitoba, and all the police are armed with large rifles.
Police escort to
police
keep
escort, because those polar bears, they are absolutely fearless.
They're they're way too many polar bears. We got to kill more polar bears.
Well, we thought we'd be extinct in 2008. Apparently, they're not. Yeah,
I don't know. We'll have to do more research.
No need to do more research. Here it is: the Global Warming Policy Foundation. They're all in on this global warming stuff. They said polar bear numbers increase, and then the analysis that they
did. But I'm not sure they're not out of the woods though, right? Because if the polar ice caps keep melting, anyway, we'll have to.
I don't know. Having problems with them. We were told that there's no way you're going to be able to survive them. It's not like you can scare away a brown bear, a grizzly bear. They said these things are fearless.
Yeah.
And they come from Ireland, by the way.
Sure they do.
That's what it said.
For when?
A long time ago. Not recently.
Now, I don't know how you can suggest that they don't care where they are. I'm assuming that the reason they have so much fur is because they live in the... polar ice caps, and if all of a sudden they're in Miami, I think they'd have a problem. So this idea that
polar bear ancestors came from Ireland,
kaboom, in the Pleistocene era,
yes, a long time ago.
Okay,
all right.
So
scientists discovered that
immigration reform for polar bears,
family tree from Ireland.
Yeah, but my hunch is they don't prefer a Russian archipelago garbage dump to the ice caps.
To seals and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
let's see. As the Earth temperature continues to increase, apparently we're going to get up 2 degrees, right, in the next 30 or 40 years. We'll see how the population, because we were told that it was going to go down, that they would basically be extinct. There were pictures you could see all skinny polar bear.
I know, but we've changed our policies toward them. For instance, even here, the regional government does not allow them to shoot these 52 polar bears that are invading their garbage dumps. Because we're trying to protect them. So if we suddenly let go and let people hunt polar bears again, it might dwindle their population.
Let's see. Fast break. Come back. Write to us online, Trading Academy 989873, or the other door as well, which is always the,
which is down.
Doors are closed. Okay. All right. Be right back. Let's see, a Care Partner Senior Living is there for you and there for us, as well as they sponsor the Tom and Curly Mailbag. If mom and dad want to move out of the house and they're not sure where to go, it's Care Partner Senior Living. Check them out. Good people working there. Here comes the mailman.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Oh, wow. Teeny Tiny, how are you?
Hello!
She's right there. She can tell us about that letter of the day. Let's get started, Tom.
So if any of you were lucky enough to be here at the beginning of the show, we did such a smooth job.
Yes, we did.
Out of the barn.
I didn't realize that the headset was turned all the way down.
Okay.
We did that.
We had to restart the show from the beginning. 206 writes in, are you telling me Tom doesn't really come in when the door opens?
got screwed up. 360, I'm so glad you guys both came in today. A total accumulation of 22 inches on my deck last night. I can't go anywhere, but you come to me. Yay.
Area code 650, Seattle snow. My company just sent me up to Anchorage, Alaska from Seattle. It's so easy driving up here. Sure, it's snowy, but it's flat. The Pacific Northwest has hills and day-long shadows. Don't take it to heart, Seattle. It's not just us.
Mm-hmm. It's still snowing in North Bend. When will it end? And 253 talking about Jacob's birthday. Happy birthday, Jacob. Happy birthday, Bernice.
Hey. Go.
And finally, 206 says, ah, Tom starts the show with a song in his heart. God help us all. I'm taking the dog to the cellar.
It was happy birthday.
It was, yeah.
Okay. On Merritt Bay, Paul from Renton, my wife is a teacher and the school principal is supposed to evaluate the teachers. This happens once per school year and the principal is there for less than that, less than one class period.
Mm. Yeah, it's tough. Sex button 253, how many times do I need to push the button so it permanently stays on?
Right, I got to tape it down. And the JP in the 206, dear Tom and Curly, tis highly presumptive of y'all to presuppose that we have our partner with whom to utilize said bedtime device with.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion is just rent a friend and then maybe try it out.
206 says, Jacob doesn't need a sex button. Yeah, his sex robot never says no.
I'd be pretty excited to do something to the robot.
I like Mr. 253 says, I imagine experience would start with you discreetly reaching over for the button and then slowly graduate to you passive-aggressively high-hitting it again and again and then finally groaning every time it rejects you. Also, they should have used hanky-panky in the ad.
Mm-hmm. Jacob, are you going to get one of those buttons?
I have a lot of underwear.
Okay. Okay.
Don't even try to play along, Jacob. You're going to get screwed.
Kamala Harris just shows you how much a stinking hypocrite she has smoked, then prosecuted people for, then decided to switch back to liking it because public opinion turned. Sounds like a normal politician.
That's pronounced Kamala. Hand washing 206. If you want to inoculate yourself, try an Arby's bathroom. The roast beef sandwich is good, too.
Red to friend 360. I enjoy Rachel Bell so much on the Tom and Curly show. The chemistry between the three of you is great radio.
And 253. Arg, Rachel, Tom in a wrestling singlet. What is wrong with you?
And 302 talking about the fact that you pay by the mile tax. Electric vehicles already have to pay an extra fee because we don't pay gas tax.
There you go. 360, oh great, the government gets to know where I am at all times. So much for privacy.
And 206, great, tax bicycles and pedestrians, especially those darn baby carriage riders. Mm-hmm.
On the tax return issue, 360, so Tom says the tax cut isn't fair because rich people got a tax cut, but wants more for him and that would be fair. Stupid.
206. John has it all figured out, siding with the soulless corporations over the workforce who generates their money. Luckily, people aren't hypnotized by this old argument anymore.
We both got it going on that one.
Yeah,
Northam's listening tour. Mike and Bonnie Lake. If these Virginia politicians were Republicans, there would be protests and riots, and none of them would have their jobs as of today. But since they're liberals, they all get to keep their jobs. Can you say hypocrisy?
Hypocrisy. 206, I find his opinion on abortion even more disqualifying than his blackface. Yeah, that's true.
On sports betting, 360, isn't the lotto gambling? Yeah, if the state runs it,
it's okay.
Legit.
It's a tax on the dumb. 360 says, the problem with the states, we get no money from the casinos on native land. Ask Dory and make him go on one of his rants.
On the Oscars, Glory of the 707, Tom, outrage. I agree with you. Cinematography and editing are the heart of films. I hope critics like you and SAG complain and reverse the dumb decision.
425, this is a joke. I hope I don't screw it up. Good morning, gentlemen. You want a joke? Here's a joke for you guys. A vegan, an atheist, and a CrossFitter walk into a bar. I know, because they told me.
Acquired savant syndrome, 253. For years now, John has been diving into the news, and not once has he arisen from the waters with any special skills.
So true.
Oh, that was good.
Wow, look at that. Timely.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Letter of the day.
Comes from area code 253.
Good.
The sponsor for tomorrow's 10 o'clock hour, Mr. 253's Sushi and Seafood Wagon. Come in today and try our freshly Dutched oven lobster. Or enjoy our dolphin eel chowder containing our secret sauce. If it's your 8th birthday, you get your meal half off. Happy birthday, Jacob, from Mr. 253 Sushi and Seafood Wagon.
Oh, sauce. Ruined it with that.
Is that Mr. 253?
It's just 253.
I would presume it was. Yeah.
It's got to be. He made it in
advertising
twice.
Himself.
Out of time. Bye-bye.